hear the word of God as it is written for us. Now I'm going to have this too close to my mouth. Hopefully that's better. Hear the word of God as it is written for us, not in the New Testament as it says here, but in the Old Testament. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatsoever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here ends the reading of God's word for us. May he help us to understand these words. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a boy in our Sunday school, we had to memorize the Psalms, and I think that that must have been true with many of you. We had to memorize a lot of different things to earn a Bible. Now that sounds kind of funny, earning a Bible, but it was a good idea, I suppose. That's the way I received my first Bible. We had to memorize a lot of different things. We had to memorize, I was about 9 years old at the time, we had to memorize the books of the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, 1 Corinthians 13, the Lord's Prayer, and several different Psalms. And so this morning I would like to look with you at the book of Psalms. They are rich with messages for all kinds of occasions, and I think that if you look upon the Psalms as something to turn to when you have a variety of feelings and needs, the value of doing what's right, the need for comfort in the face of death, humility, even shame, but also gratitude, even anger. The Psalms give you permission to be angry at God. And I would even say, memorize your favorite Psalms. You know, you can also use them when you have a hard time going to sleep and say, well, that's a good time to recite a psalm I know. And if you recite it in a whisper, very slowly, you will fall asleep, because you can't think about that and your troubles at the same time. The Psalms are very old. As I said to the children, they were written thousands of years ago. Many of the early ones are attributed to King David. Not all of them, but they were written by others as well. And they were meant to be sung, but we don't know what the tunes are. And so a lot of our hymns are rewritten as poetry and then put to music, and some psalms are chanted today, and some psalms are sung in many different ways. And in the Jewish synagogues, they would play music that's a couple of hundred years old that they would use for the psalms. And in some of the psalms, as I pointed out to the children, it'll say this should be played with a stringed instrument, or this is for the flutes. But this morning, I want to bring something to your attention to help your moods and your feelings, your situations that you face in your life, and you might be facing. And as I talk, you might try to flip to a psalm or another in your Bible or your pew Bible, and you could jot down maybe some of those things for reference. Or you could just simply listen and think about it for future reference. And just appreciate the Psalms. And go through them for yourself sometime as your devotions, a psalm a day. Although some psalms are very long and some psalms are very, very short. The translation that we use for our psalm, and of course we were reciting the 23rd psalm in the King James Version, which was done in 1611 during the Shakespearean period, and many people love the translation, the King James translation of the Bible, because it's so beautiful. Just as Shakespearean plays are also beautiful in their language. But lots of times when we recite them in the King James or read them in the King James Version, we don't understand them. The Revised Standard Version, which came out right after World War II, called the RSV for short, was done as based on the King James language and flow and cadence, but in modern language. And there were only certain times they would use the these and thous, and other times you and yours. And then many people prefer the new Revised Standard Version, which came out of the 1990s and updated some of its language and made it more gender inclusive. And many prefer the NIV Bible, the New International Version. I don't know. A lot of churches have either the New Good News Revised Standard Version or the NIV. I don't know if you have them in your pews. But if you do have a Bible available to you, I would suggest that you look at it while I'm talking about the different Psalms. And then there's the Eugene Peterson paraphrase, which came out about 20 years ago, which makes it very folksy and understanding that way. But let's look at some of the Psalms and see how they might speak to us in our different moods and situations of life. But I'll mainly be using the Revised Standard Version or the New Revised Standard Version. And I also like the Good News Bible. Many of you remember that came out in the 1970s by the American Bible Society, and it made the front cover look like a newsprint. And it was in paperback, and a lot of churches bought one of those for everyone in the Sunday school. But that translation has been redone over the years, and a lot of those, I must say, you find in old book sales. But people ought to be using that. I'm going to use it once this morning. Let's look at the Psalms. We love the 23rd Psalm, and we usually stick to the King James Version, as I say, for that. And if we hadn't done it during the junior sermon, I was going to suggest everybody recite it together, and I thought you did it beautifully. And maybe you surprised your spouse. Maybe some people were, the children looked, I didn't know they knew that. You know, they were very surprised, and maybe it'll encourage them to memorize it themselves. But comforting as that is, we have to admit that there are times in our lives when we're very angry with God, not comforted. And that's when I think you might turn to Psalm 13. And sometimes when you read it in a beautiful translation, you don't get the understanding that when he was writing Psalm 13, he was very angry with God. It was almost as though God were in the upper corner of the room and he was shaking his fist at God. But here's Psalm 13 in the Good News Bible that I was speaking about. How much longer will you forget me, Lord, forever? Have you ever felt that way? How much longer will you hide yourself from me? How long must I endure trouble? How long will sorrow fill my heart night and day? How long will my enemies triumph over me? And hopefully you don't have enemies. But you could substitute the word illness. You could substitute the word problems. Why does my illness hang on? Why do my problems become my enemies? Look at me, O Lord. It's almost as though he felt God's back was turned to him. Look at me, Lord my God, and answer me. Restore my strength. Don't let me die. Don't let my problems triumph over me. But his ranting then comes toward the end when he changes in his mood and he says, I rely on your constant love. I may be down now, but I will be glad, he says, because you will rescue me. Maybe not in the way I want to be rescued, but you will rescue me. I will sing because you have been good to me. That's personal. Psalm 13. Then we know that Psalm 22, which the words, my God, why have you forsaken me, were spoken by Jesus from the cross. One of the Jewish women in our community where my wife and I live at Woodland Pond in New Paltz came to the Good Friday service the first year I was there, and I was leading the service and used that. So we were talking about the seven last words of Jesus, one of which is, my God, why have you forsaken me, from Psalm 22. And it's a psalm as familiar to Jews as it is to Christians. And it had intense meaning for him. And this woman, Jewish woman, had attended our service, and she came up to me afterwards in tears, and she said to me, her daughter was the first executive director at Woodland Pond, and her boss had come in and fired her. Did he realize that it was Passover when he came in and fired her? Was he sensitive that that is not the best day? That she said to me, that's like you being fired on Christmas Eve. And she didn't know about it. Her daughter didn't tell her. They celebrated Passover with the family in the joyful way that Passover is celebrated. And it was after everybody left, and she told her mother, I was fired today. And the woman said to me, that verse from Psalm 22 is the one I thought of. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalms cry out with such honesty. And then sometimes the Psalms can express our deepest feelings of awe and humility. And we have felt that in our family, as we did in one of our favorite things, which was to go up to the Adirondacks camping every summer, we used to go to a place called Rollins Pond. And after dark, we would get in our canoe and paddle out into the middle of the lake. And you'd look up before the moon came out, and you'd see the canopy of stars beyond anything you ever see the stars anywhere at any other time, except perhaps in the desert. All of those stars. But then, the lake was very smooth and calm. You would look down into the water, and it reflected the sky, and you had the feeling that you were in outer space, and the stars were all around you. It was a wonderful experience. If you ever go to the Adirondacks or any lake on a dark summer night, what an experience that is. And I thought of this psalm, Psalm 8. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mere mortals, that you care for them? And then there are the times when we're depressed. Everyone becomes depressed at some point, especially when we feel depressed and cannot put our finger on exactly why. I don't know why, but I just feel depressed. And we can say with Psalm 42, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And he thinks of himself as a deer. He says, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? It's been a bad time. And he admits, he even says, my tears have been my food day and night. And people say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And he ends with these words, hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my help and my God. In other words, he's saying, I will praise God right now. I find it hard. I'm depressed. I can't praise God right now. I have praised God in the past, but right now things are tough. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope is different from faith. Hope is about the future. It's hope he's speaking about here. Hope is believing in the future. Believing in the future. Hope is in God. For I shall again praise him, my God, my help. Out of the selfishness of King David came his great sin and confession. Confession is a part of our worship every week, and confession is an important part of the Psalms. And it's the prayer of King David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of one of his generals, whom he then, when he learns Bathsheba is pregnant, because her husband was off in the field, and then he brought her husband home and said, go, be with your wife. And he didn't. He said, my men are in the field. They can't be with their wives. I won't go to be with my wife. And then David sent his general to the front lines so that he would be killed. And this would be a cover for David. And then Nathan the prophet came in one of the most beautiful passages and gives a parable of what a man did with his pet little lamb. This man's pet little lamb, when some visitor came and he took the pet lamb and served it as dinner for this guest. And Nathan said, what should he have done? And David said, well, that man should die for that. And he said, you are the man. And David went and prayed Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. There's a psalm for almost anything. Life is short. So I couldn't remember the Pope's name. I turned 80 this year. When I was first called to St. John's Reformed Church in Upper Red Hook across the river, I was 29 years old, and I couldn't wait to be 30 so that they would take me seriously. And the psalmist has words of wisdom for the elderly. I like the King James Version best here. Lincoln must have had this quotation from the King James Version in his mind when he wrote the Gettysburg Address. It must have influenced his language. Psalm 90. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. and they are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. What do we, the elderly, need? Well, Psalm 100, I'm thankful. We're thankful. And I remember one of the impressive members at my church, who was a voluntary secretary of our church, and who showed us how to live and how to die. She died of cancer in her 40s. Her name was Wilma Petz. Her husband was Herb Petz. He worked for IBM. She drew my attention to Psalm 100. It was one of the Psalms I had to memorize in Sunday school. And she said that it was her philosophy of life, and it was most beloved of all. And she taught it to her two sons and recited it with them every night when they went to bed. It was her philosophy of life. You know it. Psalm 100. Again, from the King James Version. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Well, there's so much more that we could say about the Psalms, but I hope I've just alerted in you to look in them again if you haven't looked in them recently. You could find a psalm that maybe your favorite psalm was left out this morning, but not mentioning it, but through your despair, through your anger, through your fear, through your disappointment, but also through your joy, through your gratitude, through your love, there's a psalm for everything and anything. Psalm 139 tells us what the Psalms are all about. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. And so I draw this sermon to a close with Psalm 150 in the upbeat and hopeful and positive words, the words that the Psalms have for us. And the Psalms had to end on a high and positive note, not on a low note, with the music of the Psalm 150, perhaps the most joyous of all. And he mentions all kinds of musical instruments, as I said, with the children. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Amen. O Lord, thank you for your living word in all circumstances of our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your songs. Thank you for the Psalms. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Are there any announcements from